It is Tuesday and time for book picks on our list from our independent bookseller of the week. Stan Hines of Northshire Books in Saratoga and Manchester, Vermont, joins us this morning to present some of the finest authors and books that are making their way to shelves this early summer season. Yes, I know it's still... No, we're in summer. We're officially in summer, right?
No, we're not.
No.
It feels like summer. We'll
oh, that's June 21st.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I haven't looked at the calendar today, Stan. I apologize.
It's okay.
So Stan is with us. Good morning. Welcome to the program. So these late days of spring, early days of summer, always good time for really good reads. You have brought us a beautiful list. I have some familiarity with some of these books.
Oh, good.
And they're really very, very cool. So thank you for bringing them. Where would you like to begin?
Let's start in the Land of the Midnight Sun, as long as we're talking about whether it's spring or summer.
Figuring out the weather, sure.
Yeah, and it's all about fiction today. I only have novels, and the first one is called The Sunlit Night by Rebecca Dinnerstein. Sunlit Night is about a story of two young characters. They're both from odd families. They're both from New York City. Frances, she's 21. She's an art student in a romance with a charming, no-good boyfriend. Her parents bicker all the time. Her father is a medical illustrator. He draws body parts for anatomy textbooks. They're getting a divorce, and they're sabotaging the wedding plans of her older sister. So how does she end up in Norway? Which she does. She gets a fellowship at an artist colony. It's part of a Viking museum, and she's working with a painter who only uses the color yellow and doesn't have a whole lot to say to Frances. So that's Frances in Norway. Meanwhile, back in Brighton Beach, Yasha is 17. He goes to school and works with his father in his bakery. And they left Russia 10 years ago, and Yasha's mother said that she was right behind him and she'd be right there, but she never shows up. And here it is 10 years later, and they're still waiting for her to show up and expecting that she will. But that's a pretty long time. So they make a trip back to Russia, Yasha and his father. And a change of plans, Yasha's father dies. So how does Yasha end up in Norway? Well, his father's dying wish was to be buried at the top of the world. So Yasha and Frances, two strangers in a strange land, end up at this artist colony in Norway. And they have a rather awkward friendship, which turns into a tentative romance. And it's just a wonderful, sort of whimsical, very lyrically written novel. And, of course, it's in this incredible setting. I mean, I've always wanted to go to a Scandinavian country. Yeah. Not so much in the wintertime because it's hard enough living here in
right.
December. But I would love to go. I'd love to go right about late spring, early summer, right about now. And it's just a great setting for a wonderful novel.
It is The Sunlit Night by Rebecca Dinnerstein. Next.
All right. The next novel is called I Saw a Man. It's by Owen Shears. And the publisher would have us compare Owen Shears to Ian McEwan. And that's not a bad comp. I've read a few Ian McEwan novels. I haven't read Atonement yet, though. That's the thing. Everybody who reads Ian McEwan has read Atonement.
Yes.
I have not. But it really is a sort of a fair comparison. This is a novel that the reader can get into quickly. The main character is a young British writer. His name is Michael Turner, who has had a significant measure of publishing success. And the reader is taken through how he came to write a bestseller in New York City, how he meets the woman, Caroline, whom he will marry. She works in TV. She makes documentary films. But when they get married and move to Wales, she gives up field work for a desk job. However... she kind of misses the excitement, and she accepts one final job, which takes her to Pakistan. And she's killed there. And we don't know exactly how or why, but we know that there's some sort of hostile activity. All right. So we cut to Michael's new life some months after his wife dies. He's moved to London. He's gotten to know his new neighbors, a young family of four, and he's moving on with life as best he can. And this is where the structure of the book gets really interesting. You learn about Michael's latest writing project and his relationship with these neighbors and their problems. Meanwhile, interspersed with this story is this one particular morning when Michael pops in next door to get back something that he lent his neighbor. And the back door is open, and there's nobody home. and he doesn't know if he should go in, but he does, and he's walking through their house, and he's feeling kind of weird because he's in his neighbor's house, but they're not there, and he doesn't want to snoop, but he's looking for this thing that it's a screwdriver, by the way, not that that matters, but that's the thing he loaned to them, yeah. and he eventually decides, against his better judgment, to go upstairs. And that is where something really, really horrible happens. And it's really very interesting in that even though Michael is not responsible for what happened, nor is anybody in his neighbor's family, but they both have something to hide that has to do with this terrible tragedy. About a third of the way through the book, cut to Las Vegas, and we're introduced to an entirely new character, and you very quickly realize that this character has some sort of involvement in Michael's wife's death. So there's wonderful threads running throughout the novel, and he brings it together very nicely, and it's just a terrific, I think this is his second novel.
So there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, and it's just very, very well done, very compelling.
The book is I Saw a Man. It is a novel, and Owen Shears is the author, and it's published by Doubleday.
All right. Moving on.
Next.
All right. This is the novel.
Okay. This is it.
This is the one.
This is the one I have. I'm about halfway through.
Okay.
Okay.
I hope you like it.
I love it.
This novel is fantastic. It's called The Unfortunates. It's by Sophie McManus. And it's the story of a socially prominent, extremely rich, Long Island family. These are not my people, Joe, and in general, I don't have much interest. However, these fictional characters are so fascinating.
When they're fictional, they're much better. Right.
Oh, yeah, we like them when they're fictional. Cece is the matriarch, advanced years. She has a razor wit, sharp tongue. She's in declining health and has some kind of weird, rare neurological disorder. Her son, George... she's got him propped up in a job where he's doing foundation work, and George has a wife, Iris. She is not from their side of the tracks, but she's sharp and she's appealing, and she's a very sympathetic character. All right, so he said that Cece has this neurological disorder, and she has, against her wishes, agreed to take part in this experimental treatment that she's going to get in some fancy clinic, although it's not fancy enough for Cece. It's certainly below her, but she's trying this. Up until that time, she's been managing the estate and the family affairs and the business and the social and all that in a ferocious manner. George does do some actual work at his office, but most of the time, he's writing the libretto to this futuristic opera. That's what he really wants to do. He's hired a composer. He's got musicians. He's got space. And he's borrowed all kinds of money and maxed out his credit cards because he knows that this is going to be a major musical event. And there's just something about George, and you don't know for a long time. He's just a little off. You don't know exactly what it is. You do know that Cece has gotten him out of a few scrapes in a boarding school and in college. And his wife, Iris, you know, she was the coat check girl at a country club. So George is a kind of an enigma for a long time. So these are the characters. The story is very is fascinating and compelling. But what puts the novel in the category of my favorite novel of the year is the prose. I mean, Sophie McManus is just a genius at prose styling. Her word choices, her turns of phrase, they're so surprising. They are so unusual, so descriptive. There is, actually, you mind?
Not at all.
All right.
Please do.
Okay.
I never pass up when people want to read to me.
Real quick. All right. So George, as I said, had some problems as a child, and he is described here as a terror of butterfly wings, an exploder of garden snails, a fearless explorer of the inside of his nose, a bully of cats and babies momentarily unattended, a pounder of fish tanks, a lever of cultish rock piles, a nighttime weeper, a sufferer of crippling neurasthenic stomachache, a child engaged in regular, silent, pleading prayer. And then in another spot, and this is one of my favorite sentences, his mother, Cece, has just finished giving instructions to the staff at this party she's throwing. And it says, He can tell she's finished and rejoins her, sewing on the warm smile that says, "What's that?" His hands amiably pocketed, his chin and eyebrows up, like a birder on a walk full of ordinary sparrows. That's some good writing.
That's
really, really good.
Really good stuff.
Okay, this is the novel. This is the novel that everybody needs to read. It's lively, it's funny, it's cringe-inducing. If you like books about the rich,
like the
rich getting theirs, you know? I mean, what's the saying? The rich are different. The very rich are ridiculous. It's not a saying. Someone said that.
Yeah.
It was a quote. Yes.
I don't know the quote. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I would help you if I could, but I...
Fantastic novel. First novel, which is unbelievable to me.
All right. Next?
All right.
Is this our last, or do we...
I don't know. How are we?
This probably should be our last book.
Okay. Do you mind if I talk about a book that's coming out in about 3 weeks?
Absolutely.
Okay. And this is...
Put it on our radar.
And the reason that I want to talk about it is because it's by Dennis Mahoney, who is from Troy. This is his second novel. First novel was called Fellow Mortals. I hope you have Dennis on at some point.
Yeah, we will.
He is the nicest guy you could ever hope to meet.
Yeah.
Fellow Mortals was his first novel about a neighborhood where the amiable postman throws down a cigar and burns down somebody's house, and it's about how the neighbors deal with this. It's really good. The new novel is nothing like that. It comes out on July 7th, Bellwether. It's a historical fiction, except that it's not historical of any place that we've ever heard of. It resembles colonial America, but it's called something different. The novel starts in a town called Root, where a young woman is literally swept into town on the spring flood and rescued by an innkeeper called Tom Orange. As she recovers, she can't or won't talk about how she came to be there, how she came to be clinging to a branch in a rushing river. All right. She is simultaneously embraced and regarded with suspicion by the townspeople, depending on who is doing the regarding. The novel switches between her life en route and her backstory, which is slowly filled in. She's from a homeland that resembles a European power, although it's not called England. As children, she and her brilliant but controlling brother are raised by a wealthy, politically prominent, tyrannical father. So there's a rich story about how they conspire to escape their home as revolution threatens the stability of their home. And the two of them make their way to this new world, and a wild saga unfolds. One of the reasons this novel isn't and cannot be straight historical fiction is because there is an element of magic here. The people can't do magic, so, you know, I don't want to misrepresent, but there is the natural world is sort of otherworldly. The weather, the flora, the fauna, something all kind of different. It's just a very it's a ripping yarn and wonderful, wonderful novel by a great guy from Troy.
It is Dennis Mahoney's new book, Bellwether, which you can pre-order. It's due out July 7th from Holt, and a local guy, and great stuff, Bellwether. For more information on the Northshire Bookstore, go to northshire.com. You can see their list there. Stan Hines, always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe.
We'll be back after this.